On Friday, I went and was standing in a parking lot. It was me and this older gentleman standing there, and we were talking. And what I noticed was about 9 spaces away, there was an object laying there in the middle of an empty parking spot. And I thought, what in the world is that? Now, me and the old gentleman are standing side by side, and it caught my eye enough. I was sitting there looking at it, and you know, God's blessed me with pretty good vision. I said, I think that's a pile of trash laying there in the middle of this parking lot. And he looked at me and he said, I thought it was a cat. I said, well, I'm going to walk over there and be sure. I don't think it's a cat. I went over there sure enough, and somebody had donated 3 pieces of garbage to the middle of the parking lot, and I picked them up and went away. But what you notice there is 2 people were standing side by side seeing an object that's equal distance away, but yet we saw 2 totally different things in that moment. Today we're going to talk about having a clean heart and having clear vision. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus identified one thing we needed in order to see God. And that's a pure heart. Only a heart made pure by Jesus can truly see and experience God. If you want to have a pure heart, you must understand that purity begins on the inside. Purity begins on the inside. Look there. Here's the verse for us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. On Wednesday nights, when I was serving at Locust Fort Baptist Church, we had a men's group that met after church was over. So this men's group would meet from like 7:30 to 8:30, 9 o'clock. It would be later in the night. And y'all remember the blue Civic that I drove for a little while? Loved that car. But the one shortcoming of the blue Civic was that it didn't have a heater. And this night that I recalled when I was thinking about this was in the middle of winter, and it was raining cats and dogs, and it was freezing cold. And I knew the whole time I was sitting there in that men's group, I was thinking about that drive home. But I went out there and got in the car, cranked it up, and I'm headed home. And by the time I made it onto Highway 13 to come back towards Hayden, my body heat had started filling that car. And that's the only heat in the car. The problem with that is what happens to the windshield when your body heat is the only thing heating a car? It goes completely foggy. So I had a windshield that was, I mean, literally, I could not see through it. And then on top of that, heavy rain pour. Now, the windshields, the wipers were doing their job. But so I was thinking, man, what am I going to do? Like, I'm going home. Like, I'm ready to go home. So I was driving, and I was driving real slow, and I had a napkin from a drive-through, and I was trying to wipe that fog off and see through, and I finally just settled on a hole about this big. And that's how I drove as close to the steering wheel as I could to see through that. But the problem was not the rain. The problem was not the cold. The problem was on the inside of the car. The problem was that I didn't have any heat to run through the defroster to combat the windshield. So that's why I was battling with that. When we struggle to see God, we must first address the problem that's on the inside. We got 2 words that we need to know before we can understand this text. One is pure and the other one's heart, because those are the center things that we've got to have. The word pure means complete, unmixed, containing nothing extraneous. If any of you guys have ever used a Keurig coffee maker, you know, it's very simple. You pour the water in it, you put the K-cup in it, hit the thing, and it goes down. Well, one day I did that. And then I went to drink that cup of coffee that I was very much looking forward to drinking, and it was a tainted water is all it was. I don't know what happened to the process, but that water clearly did not go through the coffee grounds and then into the cup. It was impure. And so what Jesus is talking about here is complete, unmixed, totally different than that cup of coffee. And then the heart here is the inner self. It's not talking about, even though the Greek word for this is cardia, think of cardiac, but it's not talking about this thing in our chest that pumps. Jesus is not saying you've got a pure pumping heart. He's talking about the deepest part of your inner self must be impure and unmixed. So what does pure in heart really mean? A complete, pure, and unmixed inner self, who you really are. The human condition, as many of you are aware, does not begin with a pure heart. Sin has affected every single person that's ever been born since Adam. We look to Jeremiah 17, 9, and 10 to see this truth. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Our hearts are sick. That's not saying that you're a bad person. Your heart is sick. You inherited that. That's every single one of us. But it doesn't end right there. Each one of us requires purity from the inside. Can we purify ourselves? Can I do works? Can I do deeds? Can I do a laundry list of good things and grow to this state where I can purify myself, where Philip can become pure by my own actions? I think Jesus answers this question when he rebukes the Pharisee. Luke 11, 38 through 40, when the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he, Jesus, had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? The Pharisees worked hard. They were the religious of the religious, the elite from a religious standpoint. And they worked hard to follow the law of God, and they worked hard to perform the works that they thought would make him happy and do these good things. But Jesus says that in spite of all those efforts, in spite of all the ceremonies and all the things that they did, that they were unclean and they were actually full of wickedness. So humans are not capable of purifying ourselves, no matter how many good works that we do or how much religion that we perform. Proverbs 21:2 says, every man's way is right in his own eyes. And isn't that true? I don't know about you, but I can justify just about anything that I do. I can find some reason to justify it and make myself feel better. But if we are not careful and know the true state of our heart apart from God, that can be very dangerous. The inside of man, the inside of woman, the heart is what is important to God. We see this truth in the anointing of King David. Y'all remember that? 1 Samuel 16, 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. And that's when he's talking about Saul, who was currently the king. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Humans evaluate others from the outside, but God, quite the opposite, evaluates us from the inside. Why does God evaluate the heart? Why is that the method? Why not performance? Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So our every word, our every action comes from one place, right here. So we don't have to look at all these individual little things. God just looks right here. And I was convicted by this. Because when you look at your life and you look at the actions you take, you immediately need to look here and see what is here. Why did you take that action? Why did you do that thing? What is it? Is it a heart problem? Because everything else is just a manifestation of what is going on the inside, our very deepest part. Are you willing to examine your heart this morning? Are you willing to really just take just a moment and think about the heart that you have? One commentator said, to examine one's own motives is a daunting and a shaming thing. For there are few things in this world that even the best of us do with completely unmixed motives. True purity is not about performance. It's about the posture of your heart. Jesus is calling for sincerity of your heart, not just outward behavior. If we want to see God, we must realize that purity begins on the inside. If you want to have a pure heart, you must also understand that only Jesus can make your heart pure. One way. We've been trying to teach the girls how to do chores and how to live and how to do different things because they're not going to be with us forever. I mean, we're trying to set them up for success to do some of these things. But one of these things is you have to wash your clothes. That's something that you need to know how to do. You need to know how to wash your clothes. And so they loaded up a load of clothes. And one thing that we didn't share is the importance of leaving brand new red garments out of mixed colored clothes. Well, they didn't know that. And I doubt that we'd went over that before in the lesson time. Well, I got called down to the laundry room. And I once had a white shirt. That white shirt is now pink. I now have a pink shirt. And here's the thing about that, though. No matter how many more times we wash that shirt, no matter how many more times we put bleach or we do whatever to that shirt is going to be pink. There's nothing I can do about it. Our hearts are the same way. There is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to change our heart. That is something that belongs to Jesus Christ alone. Earlier we read how God saw that David had a pure heart, said that David was a man after God's own heart. However, David still sinned, fell short, and disobeyed God. The difference between David and a lot of us is his reliance to have a pure heart, who he relied upon to give him a pure heart. After he sinned with Bathsheba and he had fallen very deeply into sin, in Psalm 51:10, he wrote these words, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Who's he relying on? God. He knew that only God could give him a clean heart, and so that's what he did. He sings out, he prays to God and asks God, "God, give me a clean heart." We can't achieve purity on our own. It comes through surrender, not self-effort. Jesus cleanses what we cannot cleanse. I don't want you to be discouraged, but somebody out there may be thinking, well, I mean, can I even have a pure heart? The answer to that question comes down to Jesus, and I'm going to give two very inspiring, true, encouraging verses that allow us to have hope and call upon Him. The first one is a series, John 3:16 through 18. You're going to be familiar with this verse, but I want you to really think about in relation to, can you have a pure heart? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So God gave as a gift His Son so that we could have a pure heart. He sacrificed him so that if we would simply believe in him and confess him, that we could have a pure heart, we could have salvation, and be able to see God. God initiated it. God gave first. And our response is to believe. So if you believe, you can have a pure heart. But let's look at one more verse, or a couple more verses. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus speaking. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not only did God give the gift, but then Jesus gives an invitation. Come to me. I have salvation for you. I have a pure heart to give to you. I have a promise, I have peace, I have security, and I'm here to give it to you if you would just come to me and believe. If you want to have salvation, a pure heart, and eyes to see God, then you must believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. Only Jesus can make your heart pure. James solidifies the application for us. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm going to break this verse down into two categories for the non-believer and the believer. For the non-believer, the pure heart begins with you with believing and confessing Jesus is Lord, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that if we'll do that, we'll have salvation. You will draw near to God through belief in Jesus Christ, and he will, just as he said, will purify your heart and you can see God. The world says, try harder. Try harder. You've got to do more. And Jesus says, come to me. I've already paid for it. I've already done the work. Just come to me. A believer, the verse says, cleanse your hands and keep your heart from sin and disobedience. So Jesus has given us, those who believe in here today, Jesus has given us a pure heart. He's enabled us to have it. But it doesn't stop there. We don't say, well, that's good. Jesus gave me a pure heart. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to do everything that I want to do. I'm going to live this life how I want to live it. I'm going to satisfy all my flesh and all my sinful desires. Because as I thought about this verse and as I was convicted, I tried to remember, when was those times in my life when I didn't see God? When did I not feel God? And it was those times when I was not pursuing God. I was pursuing my flesh. And in that time, that's a lonely time. And although I believe, because the Bible teaches that God is everywhere at all times, he's omnipresent, but I do believe that we can position ourselves and we can get ourselves in places to where our vision's not good. And we're not going to see God in those people that we're around. And we're not going to see God in those places that we choose to go. And so today it may be time for you to call back out to God and say, call me back, renew my vision. Place me in a position so that I can feel you, so that I can see you. I want to see you. Where is your heart for that? Once you have a pure heart, you will be enabled to see the beauty that you have been missing. At the end of the verse, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Some close friends of ours had a little boy, and as he grew up to be a toddler, one of the things as parents that they noticed is that he was bumping into things. He would walk by the couch and just run right into it. They would tell him, go get that. It's just right there on the floor. And he would go over there to it, and it was just like he couldn't even see it. And they finally got to the place, we need to take him to the eye doctor. There's something wrong with this child. So they did. They took him to the eye doctor, and immediately upon examination, the doctor said, oh, my goodness, this child has horrible vision. This is the explanation. This is why he's running into all these things. This is why he's doing all this. So they get the prescription glasses, and this is my favorite part of the story when they told it. She said when they got those glasses and they put them on his face, that his eyes completely lit up and a smile ran on his face. And he was just looking around fervently like it was the first time that he could ever see. But he had never had the vision to appreciate all the things around him. And he didn't run into stuff anymore. And he was able to see those things on the floor. It all went back to a vision problem. When your heart is right, your vision changes. You begin to see God in several ways. Number one, I think when your heart is right, you see God in His Word, in the Bible, in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will give you a new mind that can be taught and that can understand what God has given us. 1 Corinthians 1:18 highlights this truth. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So when we believe in Jesus and we get a pure heart and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we can see God more clearly in His Word. Secondly, we can see God more clearly in your life. The physical world around us and in our daily activities. That is one thing about atheism. They have the greatest faith, in my opinion. I think you have to have tremendous faith to be an atheist. When I walk out there and I'm seeing outside right now, when I go out there and I just begin to think about all the beauty, all the grandeur, all the way down to the things, the micro things that we don't even see, and that's an accident? There were two things that we can't explain how they were created that collided one day and somehow created this super complex world that we live in. Sorry, I don't get it. But I do see the hand of a creator. And when you believe in the creator and you read about him and you read about how he created everything, you can see him in his creation in your daily life. Another way that we can see God is in our struggles. We get peace and hope as opposed to agony and turmoil when we're going through our struggles, when we have God, when we can see Him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that He might strongly support those whose heart is completely His." So God promises that He sees us in His struggle, in our struggles, that He will meet us in our struggles because He has eyes that see us in those struggles. But you have to have a pure heart to experience seeing God in those struggles that you have. Lastly, I think we can see God in your future. The future in this life and in your next life. In this life, when we see God, we have purpose and meaning as opposed to aimless and frivolous living. We have purpose. God gives us great purpose. That's actually what we're going to be talking about in our Sunday school class, our purpose from God. But in the next life, I think we'll see God in fullness. And why do I think that? 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known." So that's the hope that we have in the next life. When we have a pure heart, we will be able to see fully and see God in the next life. I was scrubbing in surgery one day, and we were doing an abdominal procedure. And during this procedure, one thing that the doctor had to do is he had to actually open up the abdomen from below the belly button to up here. And I mean, they just open you up. I mean, they got to see inside of you to do that work. I know that's kind of grotesque. But he did the surgery, and I was up there scrubbing with him, handing instruments. And at the end of the surgery, he said, "I've got to get some lymph nodes out of this material that covers your organs and protects your organs." Pretty cool that God gave you that. Nobody ever sees it, but it's kind of cool. And he had that up there, and he had some forceps, little tweezers, and he was looking, and then he had some scissors, and he was cutting these things out and handing them to me to put in a cup so that he could send it to pathology. And I was looking at that, and I was looking at the women watching who that, and I said, just entertain me. how in the world are you seeing these things? Like, I see them once they're in the cup and you hand them to me, but I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at, and it looks like one big yellow blob of goo. And he said, I have trained so much and looked at so many of these that my eyes can just see what your eyes can't see. It's due to the training that allows me to see it. And the evidence was clear. I had them in a cup. If you have not been looking for God in His Word and in your life and in your struggles and in your future, you do not see Him. You have to have a pure heart like the training of that surgeon in order to see God in all of those areas. So have you been given a new heart and the ability to see? Has Jesus given you that so that you can see God? That's the first question. And if you haven't, if you came today and you've never felt God, you've never experienced God, you've never seen God, no matter how much you've looked, no matter how much you've read His Word, are you willing to confess and believe in Jesus Christ today so that you can have it? Because that's the key. You have to have a pure heart in order to see God in any of these things. And you can do it right now. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you'll confess Him in prayer and ask Him for forgiveness. He'll give you a pure heart today, May 25th, 2025. Believers, have you migrated away from God and surrounded yourself with non-God things? I think today's a great opportunity to ask God to renew your heart, to renew the pure heart that He's given you, so that you can begin to see and appreciate Him each and every day and be encouraged by that. A clean heart has clear vision. Jesus didn't say, blessed are the perfect. Jesus didn't say, blessed are the religious. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that means this for you and I. Not when you finally get it all together, but right now, have a heart that turns towards Him. Some of you are living your life with a fogged up windshield like I had that day, that night that I tried to go home from Locust Fork. You've been asking, why don't I feel Him? Why don't I see Him? Why can't I see what others seem to see? But what if the issue is not God's distance? What if the issue is God's not hiding from you? He's there in plain sight. He's just waiting for you to call upon His Son so that you can have a pure heart and see Him standing there. If you want to see God, really see Him in the Word, in your life, in your struggles, in your future, it starts with a clean heart. A heart that says, Jesus, cleanse me, change me, enable me to see. Andrew, you and the team can come up. Today is the day that you can begin that journey of having a pure heart and seeing God. But today is also the day to stop, pray, and ask God to renew your vision.